98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Here we go, the top stories of the day. Every day on the Burns and Gambo show, we do it at 4 o'clock. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. We start today's 4 o'clock reset with coaching news from the NFL. Two coaching hires in particular that are done. One is absolutely done. The other reportedly is about to be. And that one is the Lions getting set to hire Saints assistant head coach Dan Campbell. The two sides still need to work out a deal, Gambo, but apparently this one is very close for Campbell to replace Matt Patricia.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's 44 years old. You know, former player. Has never been a coordinator in the NFL, but considered a very good X's and O's guys, but, you know, more of a leader and everything, too. So he's been a good coach for a number of years. I think at one point the Cardinals even, you know, looked at Campbell for maybe he was offensive coordinator. I believe they looked at him a few years ago for that position. So he would replace Matt Patricia, who got fired in November after less than 3 years with the team.
And then the L.A. Chargers have hired the Rams defensive coordinator, a guy who's really made a name for himself this year, Brandon Staley, the top-ranked defense in basically every metric across the board, give or take a few categories. Staley now stays in L.A. He just goes from defensive coordinator of the Rams to head coach of the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, 38 years old. Man, he went through those ranks very, very quickly. He was a position coach in 2017 with the Bears, and 2 years as a defensive under Vic Fangio when Fangio was the D.C. 1 year as an outside linebacker coach, and now here he is as a head coach at 38 years old.
Yeah. Meanwhile, that would leave two head coaching vacancies. That would be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans. Along those lines, there's a report that Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs and the preferred head coaching candidate of one Deshaun Watson, is going to have a Zoom interview with the Texans today. And Todd Bowles, the former head coach of the Jets, the former defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, and now the D.C. with the Bucs, he is scheduled to have an interview with the Philadelphia Eagles, Gambo.
Yeah, that probably helped him yesterday, that win over the Bucs. But, you know, Todd Bowles was the head coach of the Jets for about 3 or 4 years, went 24-40, didn't make the postseason, lost his job. And then is the defensive coordinator under Bruce Arians right now. But I always thought that someday he would get himself a second opportunity. This could be a good job for him.
What does it mean? Don't ask Gus. But back in November, Larry Fitzgerald sold his 14,000-square-foot home in Paradise Valley. It just became public today. The knowledge of it became public. He bought it in 2015 for just over $3 million. He sold it in November for $18 million. And a lot of people are wondering if, because he sold it, it means that his NFL career is at some point about to come to an end.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he got bored of living there, and maybe he wants to live somewhere. You just don't know. I mean, what these guys do. I mean, I'm just more impressed that he bought a house for $3 million and sold it for $18 million. I would have been impressed if he doubled his money. But to go from $3 million to $18 million, what happened? What did he do to that house?
I know home values are on the rise, but yeah, he must have hired one of those HGTV people that you're always watching over there, Gambo, to come in and really renovate that thing. I bet it was just a piece of
junk. The Property Brothers, yeah.
He brought in the
Property Brothers
in to fix it up real nice.
Yeah.
Just announced a moment ago, the league isn't using the word canceled, but a memo was sent to NFL teams today about the 2021 Scouting Combine. There will be no in-person workouts, and instead, players will be worked out at their individual pro days on campuses. So the scouting combine, as we know it, Gambo, is not happening in 2021 for the NFL.
Not surprised by that. I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all. Also, the Fields kid declared for the NFL draft from Ohio State, so he's coming out. We expected that.
Yes.
That became official today.
And we'll get into each individual matchup in a moment, but obviously from the NFL, the divisional playoffs, the big story there, the Packers beat the Rams, the Bucs beat the Saints, the Chiefs beat the Browns, and the Bills beat the Ravens. So next Sunday, Green Bay versus Tampa Bay in the NFC, Kansas City versus Buffalo in the AFC.
Yep, and you went 4-0 on those picks. Congratulations.
Yeah, I wish I had some money on them. I'd feel a lot better about it if I had a little cold hard cash on those games.
That's right. When I win this, whatever it's called, Mega Millions tomorrow or Wednesday, whatever, I don't really play the lottery until when it gets like this. And I'll be hiring that, my wife's going to hire that guy, David.
The guy who,
my lottery millionaire.
Yeah, comes in and fixes up your house or finds
you a
house.
No, he helps you find a house.
He helps you find a house when you've won the lottery.
Figure
yes,
out what,
absolutely.
You know, what state she wants to live in or country in, and she's going to take him with her because she wants to be best friends with him.
Top story of the day, though, comes to us from the game that's going on right now as we speak. You can hear it on ESPN 620, or you can keep it right here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll keep you completely updated on what's going on right now in Memphis, Tennessee. There is about 2.5 minutes to go in the game. The Grizzlies now have a 3-point lead over the Phoenix Suns, 46-43 in this game. From just a basketball standpoint, I can tell you right now the story of this game, it's twofold. Number one, there was a change to Monty Williams' lineup. He went with Cam Johnson as a starter over Jay Crowder. Number two, it is the poor performance of Devin Booker so far. 1 of 9 from the floor in this game. He's only got 2 points. His struggles have been kind of the defining moment of this game. I know you're watching. I am as well. And it's obvious he's having a very tough game out there today.
He's had a very tough year, wouldn't you say?
Not, I mean, not one of nine tough, but yes, it has not been a Devin Booker type year. I'll give you that.
Overall, he's just not having his, you know, I mean, he's not on pace to go to the All-Star game, I'll tell you that right now. He's just, he's not had a great season. They've won some games without him having to be great so far. So the Suns, this is their 12th game being played. This is their 12th game. And Booker is, you know, he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been his typical self. He did score 30. Oh, he scored over 30 once, and that was the Washington game. Outside of that, he hasn't hit 30 in any other games. He had an 8-point game against New Orleans, and they won that game. But off to a little bit of a rough start here. These are the teams. You know, the Grizzlies survived without Ja Morant. We thought Ja would be out a little bit longer, but they hung around. Like they are 6-6 on the season, so they kind of did what they needed to do while Ja Morant was out. And now they get Ja back, and, you know, they'll be a very, you know, capable team that could push for a playoff spot. And one of the teams that we talk about, the Suns, are going to compete with for playoff positioning.
Yeah, as we're talking about Devin Booker, he did just hit a three to give him 5 points on the game. The leading scorer for the Suns right now is DeAndre Ayton. He's got 9 points, 8 rebounds in this one. Chris Paul has 7 points. The bench, once again, coming up very big for the Phoenix Suns. Kaminsky has already hit a couple of threes. Javon Carter has already hit a couple of threes. Langston Galloway has already hit a three. Suns are shooting 44% from the three-point line. The bench is now a combined 5 of 8 from the three-point line. So once again, another strong performance shooting-wise from the Phoenix Suns bench today so far, Gambo.
Yeah, and Ayton, you said, leads with 9 points. He also has 8 rebounds and 3 assists for DeAndre Ayton. So 9 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists for DeAndre so far in this game.
Of course, there was a question about whether this game was even going to be played or not today, and I know you were working the phones basically right up until the start of our show to see whether the game was going to happen or not, and you had heard, 5 minutes before we got on the air that they were good to go, and not because of the Suns necessarily. I think there was some concern about the Memphis Grizzlies and whether they'd be good to go for this game or whether it was responsible to play the Memphis Grizzlies right now because they've had their share of issues the last couple of days.
Yeah, the first word I got that the game, and I tweeted it out earlier, was about a little bit before 10 o'clock, that all signs were pointing towards this game being played. So that's what I was told earlier today. And then I checked on it right before we went on the air just to double check, like, hey, is this, you know, we still good to play this game? And that was before we got on the air, and I was told yes. So there was a lot of discussion. Nobody really knew for sure because we knew the Suns had traveled there, but we didn't know for sure whether the game was going to go on or not. But the game is being played right now, and now we'll wait for tomorrow. Like, that's the thing that we're going to have to worry about. I think to some sense, if any of these players on the floor in this game test positive tomorrow, then both teams go into contact tracing because of the proximity to the players. But new protocols in place. You know, I'm watching Javon Carter walking with his mask on and other players, Frank Kaminsky walking with his mask on right now because the NBA has put in other protocols. And now we'll see if those protocols, you know, eliminate some of the contact tracing. I don't know, but it could.
Yeah, Memphis had some issues in their Sixers game. They're missing a couple of guys today as well, but the league felt comfortable enough to move forward with this game. And like Gambo said, we'll just see what the ramifications are of it in the next couple of days. They are at the half right now. The Suns are trailing by 4 going into the locker room. When we come back, the Kansas City Chiefs are headed to the AFC Championship game thanks to Chad Henne. Okay. That's Ooh. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I don't know what was better about yesterday's Kansas City win. The fact that Andy Reid had the guts to do what he did on 4th-and-1 by passing to Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Or Tony Romo's reaction to Andy yes. Reid having the guts for it to go for it on 4th-and-1 the way he did. Because Tony Romo pretty much set my living room on fire when he lost his mind yesterday.
Andy Reid, really smart. Send everybody out there. You got guts, right? You're trying to draw them off sides. Take a timeout. Take it down. Let the clock click. Try and draw them off sides.
They put Henne in the gun.
Walk up. Pretend like you're going to go ahead and quarterback sneak it. Motion them back. Try and draw them off sides. And then take a timeout. You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Oh, there is a play. Henne rolling out. Throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game. Only Andy Reid gets a shotgun on 4th-and-1 and throws the ball with the backup quarterback. There's no way. He shocked everybody. I mean, that is impossible. I've never seen it.
Just look at the body language, Gambo. Yeah. Just look at the body language. There's no way they're going for it.
Yeah. He's like, I played for Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, and Jason Garrett. None of them would have done that. Jason Garrett would have never done that. Wade Phillips would have never done that.
I want to
Parcells
play for Andy
would have
Reed.
Never done that.
How come I don't get to play for Andy Reid, says Tony Romo? I'd like to play for a guy goodness. Like that. God, that was awesome. That was such a moment yesterday.
Listen, what makes Romo great is his ability to, you know, to give his opinion and predict these things, and he's right on a lot of them. But, you know, I like hearing that. I like him, instead of just saying nothing, right, because you're afraid to be wrong, come out. There's no way they're going to throw it. They're trying to. We all thought the same thing. They're trying to draw them off sides. They lulled them to sleep so great that they made every player on that Browns defense believe that they were doing exactly what Romo said. They're trying to get us to draw off sides. Don't do anything. Just stay on your ground. They're not going to run a play. They're not going to run a play. They're not going to run a play. They run the play, and you get caught off guard. Tyreek Hill just sneaks out. You get a perfect pass from Henne to Tyreek Hill. I mean, you got to make the pass, and you got to catch the ball, and it's a first down, and the ball game's over. If they don't make it, the Browns have the ball at midfield, no timeouts left, about a minute and 12 seconds, and a touchdown away from winning the football game. I mean, the safe play, the play that every other coach in the league besides Andy Reid would have done is punt the ball down to them and say, okay, you've got no timeouts because you wasted them. You've got no timeouts. Here you go. You got a minute and 12 seconds. You have 72 seconds. You got to go all the way down the field. You got to go 80 yards down the field and score a touchdown. Good luck with no timeouts.
Yeah.
Because that clock moves fast if I tackle you inbounds. So that would have, you know, that's the smart play, right? But Reid was stumped. He fooled them. He fooled them all.
You know what? And what's funny about that to me, and I think it was Darren Urban over at AZ Cardinals who pointed this out on Twitter during the game. He said, Andy Reid, and maybe you'll remember this. I'd kind of forgot about this. Andy Reid, for the most part, from his time with the Philadelphia Eagles, kind of developed a reputation as a guy who would frequently botch late-game situations, like didn't have a great understanding of clock management, what to call, when to call it, how to manage, like, the last 2 minutes of the game. And as soon as Darren tweeted that, I kind of remember that now, where he just had this reputation as a guy who would find a way to screw it up. It's weird to see Andy Reid get so much praise for how he handled the end of that game, because he's had a long career, and it's obviously a Hall of Fame career, but if there's been one knock on Andy Reid, it was his ability to manage games late with the decisions that he made.
Do you make that call if you're Andy Reid and you've never won a Super Bowl?
That is a great question. I don't believe you do, no. I think at that point you're...
Do you have a little leeway because you've won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, a little juice. Absolutely. I think so.
If they would have lost the Super Bowl last year, I mean, if they would have lost and you haven't won a Super Bowl yet, I just, you know,
you might have had a more of a greater inclination to play it safer if you're Andy Reid, as opposed to being, you know, having the guts of a gambler like there. Yeah,
yeah.
I think there's something to that. Either way, Chad Henne, and he said this afterwards, and I was watching the CBS postgame show, and Phil Simms was talking about this quite a bit. He said, the fact that I got to play in week 16 when we sat Patrick Mahomes was a big deal for me.
Definitely felt a lot more comfortable out there playing the last game of the season against the Chargers. Full week of preparation, you know, feeling the pockets, especially as a quarterback, is very important, especially if you haven't been in there in a while. But felt confident.
He had 38 pass attempts, not in that game, but
they lost to the Chargers. They got beat up, but it was the last game, and he played. Listen, I said the same thing about Strebler. Like, why did the Cardinals not get Strebler any reps just in case? Like, as the seat, you have to find. Henne said it exactly right. I benefited from getting some reps in that last game. And if I didn't play in that game, I know, who knows? Maybe I can't make that pass because I'm rusty. And getting in the pocket and getting a feel and all of those things. You know, you have to find a way. Now, the Cardinals didn't have a ton of games this year where they could have played the back, but there were some. Like, you know, the Washington game, you probably could have got some reps for Strebler. The Jets game, you could have definitely gotten some reps for Strebler. Yeah, I think you've got to make it a point next year if you're Cliff, no matter what, whoever your backup quarterback is, and I don't believe that'll be either one of the guys who are here this year. I think they'll go new. I think that you've got to find a way to get that guy some reps in games that you're winning and games that you're losing in the fourth quarter, just to get him just in case.
Yeah.
Because Kyler's small, and if Kyler gets hurt, you know, you've got to have you want the confidence in the backup quarterback that he could come in and lead you to a victory or two.
Here's Ian Rappaport today on Mahomes being in the concussion protocol and whether he plays or not on Sunday.
Things are positive from a testing standpoint, from just an optimism standpoint. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Patrick Mahomes is going to play on Sunday. Here's where this stands. And first of all, let me just say, you're going to see the hit here. It doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes gets hit in the head. Concussions can come, as everyone knows, from hits where even if you do not make contact with the head, those are still considered concussions. And it doesn't matter as far as how you return. Return is still based on how he progresses through the protocol, not where and when the injury occurred. Andy Reid had said there were good signs last night. That's true. Said there were some positive signs today. That is true as well. The next step for Mahomes is going to be increase his heart rate tomorrow, see if he still has symptoms, and then potentially get out on the field and practice on Wednesday.
Obviously, there's so much hinging on this. That's the understatement of the year. There's a lot riding on Mahomes' ability, because as good as Henne was on that fourth down throw and as great as he was on third and 14 when he scrambled for 13 yards, their chances of a repeat Super Bowl win go way down if Chad Henne is the starting quarterback next week for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't see any way that Patrick Mahomes is going to miss this game. He's not going to miss this game. He'll be limited for a few days. There is a protocol. The player rests until signs and symptoms return to baseline status and undergoes neurological, cognitive, and balance tests. The player begins cardio exercise and or stretching and balance training under the oversight of the team's medical staff. There's a procedure, right, thing. There's recovery steps, you know, for him to be able to get back out there. I think he'll get back out there. He definitely looked wobbly. He looked like he had no legs. I'm not surprised at all that he didn't come back in the game, that they wouldn't let him back in the game. But that was the Saturday game, too. So that gives him an extra day to recover. Rather than that, if that was a Sunday game. So think about that as well, because every day coming back from a concussion, every day is important. You get one extra day to, you know, to have those symptoms subside. That's a big deal.
No, at Chiefs-Browns, that was Sunday.
Was that Sunday?
That was yesterday morning. Bad. Yeah, that was yesterday.
My bad.
Morning. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he doesn't get the extra day.
He doesn't get the extra, extra
big
day, yes. But
if that game was Saturday.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, it might be 2, 3 days, 4 days. I mean, if he's having symptoms, you know, usually – you know, from my experience, symptoms are, you know, anything with a light, you just, you know, it just bothers your brain. It just hurts. So you don't want the light on. You don't want a TV light on. Sound, the nauseousness feeling when you're throwing up and you don't know why, because like, I haven't eaten anything. I don't know why I'm throwing up. So, you know, if he's having those symptoms, you know, then he might not be able to play. But if he's not having those symptoms, I'm sure he'll be back out there in a few days.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show for the first time in his illustrious Hall of Fame career, Aaron Rodgers has the benefit of playing at home for the NFC Championship. How big of a difference will that make? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. seventh Wizards player testing positive for the coronavirus. Now coach, too. That is a mess the NBA is going to have to deal with. In the meantime, what we're going to have to deal with right now is our Twitter poll question of the day and updating potential Super Bowl matchups. That's the question we're asking today from Sarah.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Not who do you want, but who you think, right?
Exactly.
Okay, not who you want. It's who you think is going to be there.
Your head, not your heart.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
So we are asking who is making it to the Super Bowl. The four options, very neat and tidy for our poll today. The Bills versus the Packers, the Bills versus the Bucks, the Chiefs and the Packers, or the Chiefs and the Bucks. Who makes it?
I'm boring. I'm going with the favorites. Chiefs, Packers.
That doesn't make you boring. That makes you smart.
No,
Chiefs,
Packers. Exactly. You're playing the odds. Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I'm glad you framed it that way, Gambo. That's really the only reason why I'm not, is because I always think something unusual is going to happen. It doesn't always happen that way, but I'd almost rather play the odds. It's something that it won't be number one versus number one, that there'll be something unexpected that'll happen this weekend. I think that unexpected thing will be the Bills beating the Chiefs, so I think it's going to be the Bills versus the Packers this weekend. But if Mahomes plays, I might be very, very wrong in that pick. Very
it's
wrong.
True.
I think I might root for the Bills.
Yeah. Oh, I'll definitely root for the Bills. Nothing against the Chiefs. Yeah. I have nothing against the Chiefs at all. I will definitely root for the Buffalo Bills. They are a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to pull for.
And a very likable fan base, too.
Yes,
I like all the charity stuff
so.
That they do. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, your guys' selections, the Bills and the Packers or the Chiefs and the Packers, those are hands down the two most popular responses. 38% going with Chiefs Packers, 36% going with Bills Packers, and same as 230, very little love for the Bucks. 15% say Bills Bucks, 11% say Chiefs Bucks.
I'll be curious to see if that changes over the week. Not this specific poll question, but if the Bucks will get a little more love in terms
traction.
Of their chance, a little traction to possibly win this game. Although I don't know, Gambo, the Green Bay Packers of the four games this weekend. Look, it was a one-score game late in the third quarter. The Rams got the touchdown. Yeah. They got that two-point conversion. They had cut it to within seven, and yet it felt like the Packers were mostly in control of this game throughout. And then, of course, they quickly established that control after the Rams cut it to seven with that big long touchdown pass to Alan Lazard. So I don't know. In your mind, were they ever really threatened in this game, the Packers?
No, but the Rams gave themselves a puncher's chance, right? Because they hung around and they were only down by the one score until the touchdown that you just mentioned, which kind of gave them that breather, because that touchdown didn't come till, you know, late. That was a late touchdown that kind of sealed it for the Packers. I thought the Packers, you know, I felt like they were going to win, but as long as the Rams were hanging around, you never know, right? One turnover and changes the field position and that's everything. But when Lazard got behind the Rams secondary and scored on that touchdown, and they went up by two scores with about 7 minutes left in the game. Yeah, that's when I felt like, okay, the Packers are going to win. I don't think the Packers played a great game. I thought they played a good game. They took care of the football. They ran the ball extremely well, which helped out Rodgers quite a bit. The Rams do have a good defense. And I thought they ran, you know, I mean, honestly, the one play that they ran was just a great play to kind of pick, you know, Adams. Ramsey there and get that touchdown to Devontae Adams. I thought that was a big play in the game, and they got that. But overall, I thought the Packers, they were the better team. But the Rams were just, they wouldn't go away. They were just hanging around enough. Like, the Packers scored on their first five possessions, but yet it's a one-score game with, you know, 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you mentioned the game that Devontae Adams had. He said after the game, if the number one defense in the league, the Rams, can't stop you, then who's going to?
Nobody. We stop ourselves. I think that's been proven at this point. You know, they got a lot of guys who do things at a high level and, you know, some of the best at their position, but the way we come together is just different than anybody else.
And the Rams certainly, and it was very obvious that they were impacted by not having Aaron Donald as much as they're accustomed to. I think I read that he typically plays about 85-86% of the snaps on any given Sunday. He was only in on about 54% of the snaps this past weekend, in tears when the game was over on the sideline. I mean, it was very obvious that he was very limited in this game. He was very quiet in this game. He did not have anywhere near a typical Aaron Donald game. Some of that is due to the work the offensive line did for Green Bay, which is very, very good. But I think his injury definitely impacted the Rams' ability to increase that puncher's chance that you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is the best defensive player in the National Football League, and you saw just how much he cared, you know, in that game. Because in the final moments of that game, he could not, you know, hide the emotions. He was wearing his emotions on his sleeve. He was crying, the tears. I mean, that's a player who cares so much, and there's – yeah, I think one of the coaches was consoling him, put his arm around him. Yeah. You could just see him. I mean, he was visibly upset that they were going to lose that football game. And this is a Hall of Fame player. I mean, he's got the money, he's got the accolades, he's got everything, but he wants to win so desperately and so badly. You love when a guy like that is on your team. I mean, that only endears him more to the fans of that football team, because that's what you want to see. You want to see, you know, guys that care to the point where, you know, it's when you lose a game like this and you're, you know, your chance to, you know, you lose a year. You lose a year of your life with a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Very weird to think that Aaron Rodgers has never hosted an NFC title game in his entire career. That everything he's always done, he's always had to go on the road for this round. He's always had to go on the road for this game. He's lost three straight NFC championship games. And we've said it a lot over these last couple of weeks, Gambo. If there's one home field advantage in this league with COVID and reduced fans, I still think it's got to be Lambeau Field. A, because there were like 10,000 fans there in the building this weekend. And B, because of the weather and how cold it gets, I still think even in a COVID world, that's a tough place to go play if you're a visiting team, and a big advantage for Rodgers going into this weekend.
Sure. Yeah, I would think that too, right? I mean, he hasn't had the home game. I would think that Tom Brady has played in a lot of cold weather games, obviously.
Yes.
That was always his advantage with Peyton Manning. I mean, the one year Peyton got the home field, that's the year I think the Colts won the Super Bowl. But the previous years, when you don't get the home field and you got to go to New England and play and it's cold and you're an indoor team, it's a big disadvantage. Tampa's an outdoor team in warm weather, except for Tom Brady. How much of a factor is that? How much of a factor is it that Brady has plenty of experience playing in a cold game? He's not going to be upset or nothing in the cold. The cold weather's not going to faze him at all. But the rest of the team, we'll see. The rest of the team, how is it going to affect the rest of that football team if it's really cold at Lambeau Field? You know, the Packers are going to be fine. They practice there. They play there. So I don't think it's an issue for them, but I do think it could be an issue for Tampa Bay.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, did we just get some kind of a hint that Larry Fitzgerald is going to retire, or have we just found out that, like real estate, he's good at everything that he does? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Did you see that dunk by DeAndre Ayton?
Seriously.
Were you looking at the TV when he just threw that thing down for the three-point play?
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong if I said I got up to go get a drink of water? And
goodness. Cody, you saw it, right?
I did.
Cody, describe that to him. Give me a little play-by-play.
Cody. Ayton has it on the block. He spins around. I don't even know who the big guy was. He spins around the big man, and he throws it down on the reverse dunk.
I think it was Tillman. He took a pass from Chris Paul back to the basket. He went around Tillman, and it was a reverse dunk, threw it down, got fouled, went to the free throw line. I believe he made the free throw. And it's the play that every Suns fan in the entire world has been waiting for. It's the
right.
One. It is.
It
Suns
is.
Am I right, Suns fans? Yeah. That's what I want. Yeah, I wanted that. Oh, my God. That's everything I've ever wanted.
Yep.
He dunked the basketball. He took it. Got a pass from Chris, backed this guy down, spun around him, under the basket, reverse dunked it, got fouled. Booker came over to him, hit him on the back, and everybody in Suns fan is like, that is everything I've ever wanted. Suns fans are crying right now like Aaron Donald.
Burnsy, the Suns just clipped and posted the play on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So I will send it to you.
Oh, did they really?
Right now. They just did. I'll retweet it from the Burns and Gambo show.
Oh, Burns, go look at that, Burns.
I'll go watch it.
Go watch that.
Let me see here. Hold on.
It's in your teams.
I'm watching it right now.
It was a thing of beauty.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
It was a thing of
beauty. Plus, he did a little flex afterwards, right? He kind of stared the guy down. It kind of, a little bit. Yeah, all right. Good, good.
It is. Take that, Suns fans. Think they can't dunk a basketball. Take that.
Do it again.
It is 73.
No, do it again. That's right. Do it again.
Seriously, do it again. Well, no.
Look, you can do it.
Look, I'll be the first to admit sometimes I think the argument about whether DeAndre Ayton should dunk or not is kind of juvenile, right? I mean, like, what difference does it make how he scores his 2 points, just that he scores his 2 points?
Do I seem aggressive?
But I will admit, it is a symbol of aggression, right? It is a little bit of a sign of aggressiveness, and I want to see him be aggressive and not passive down there. And sometimes when I see him lay it up, finger roll, turn around, jump shot, I feel like he's being passive, where if he's throwing it down, that there's an aggression in there, and it makes me feel like that he can add that element to his game. That's the only reason why I want to see him dunk. 2 points is 2 points. I don't really care how he gets it, but at the same time, that aggression is something we've been so desperate to see from DeAndre Ayton, and it was good to see it. Suns are down by a point with about 2.5 minutes to go, and yes, we did just retweet the video, and it was pretty
good.
It was
there
really
good. There it is. That's for you, Suns fans.
Very nice.
You wanted it. You asked for it, and he delivered a dunk.
Larry Fitzgerald is
a real estate a genius
guru, apparently. He's you know how I like to tell you, Gambo, that you don't live a semi-charmed kind of life, you live a fully charmed kind of life. Larry Fitzgerald is like your professional athletic equivalent. Is there anything he's ever done wrong other than not win a Super Bowl? Is there anything that Larry Fitzgerald has ever screwed up other than not win a Super Bowl? He is like the professional athletic version of you. You live a fully charmed kind of life. Larry Fitzgerald's the kind of guy who can buy a Paradise Valley mansion, 14,000 square feet, for $3 million in 2015 and sell that bad boy in 2020 and make $15 million in the sale. He sold it for $18 million. He bought it for $3. That is a fully charmed kind of life that Larry Fitzgerald is living right there.
I mean, honestly, like if somebody would have told you, hey, if you buy this house now in 5 years, I would have found a way to get $3 million to buy it. I would have bought it. I would have bought the house. I would have bought that house. If anybody would have, hey, you buy this for $3 million, you could sell it for $18 million in 5 years. Yeah, okay, I'll buy it.
I'll buy it, yeah.
Well, I'll buy it for $3 million.
I'll ask all my buddies from New York to chip in a few dollars, a few shekels here and there. Sarah can chip in. Dave can chip in. Cody, Jordan, we can all chip in and buy a house for $3 million if I know I'm going to make $18 million off of it. Yeah,
that's unbelievable that he was able to do that. Now, but then, you know, listen, that's one thing, right? That was the big story. And then the speculation. I mean, what does it mean? Does it mean anything? Oh, is Larry Fitzgerald retiring? Is he moving out of the valley? What is he doing? I don't know. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm not going to read into this. I'm going to wait for him to tell us what he's doing. This sounds crazy, but I mean, you could speculate till you're blue in the face here. You can. We will know in good time what he decides to do.
Yeah, we will. And it's just a question of when that good time is. Ken Summers from the Arizona Republic tweeted out on Friday that Friday was the 1 year anniversary of when Fitz announced he was playing in 2020. So it was about this time a year ago he said he was back. You've long thought that it would be somewhere in the next couple of weeks or so before the Super Bowl where we will hear from Larry again for 2021. I just feel like now the question about Fitz's return, it feels like it's got more teeth than it has in years. Because even if he decides to come back, all right, and I'm not saying I don't want him back. I'm just saying if he decides he wants to come back, we have to have a real conversation about how much money Larry Fitzgerald should make when he does, because he's not an $11 million player in this league. He's not anymore. You can't pay him that now. And so does that impact his decision? I don't know. If he comes back, does he expect to be paid $11 million? I don't know. But if he chooses to come back, it cannot be at the same salary he made a year ago. That those days are done, I think, as far as it goes with Larry Fitzgerald and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can always do, like, incentive-laden deals. Like, okay, come back for this amount of money, but yet if you do all of these things, which you're not going to do, you can make this much, right? because that's always a possibility. So I think that I don't think the contract would be like the big, because I don't think they're going to insult him and offer him $2 million. And I don't think he's going to insult them and say, I need the exact amount of money that I got last year, or I'm not playing, if he decided to come back. I think there's middle ground that they both can meet.
There's a lot of chaos, probably the wrong word, but I'm going to use it anyway, in the NFC West over this weekend. All four NFC West teams have made changes with their coordinators after this weekend was all said and done. We knew about the Jets losing their defensive coordinator, or the Jets gaining their head coach by the 49ers losing their defensive coordinator,
yeah, Robert Saleh.
The Chargers just hired the Rams defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. He might take the Rams offensive coordinator with him. We know that Saleh already took the 49ers passing game coordinator, Mike LaFleur, Matt's brother, with him. Seattle has fired their OC, Brian Schottenheimer. Tom Clements retired with the Cardinals as their quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator. There's been a lot of, if not at the top, Gambo, there's been a lot of movement at the coordinator level in the NFC West over the last 3 or 4 days.
Sure. I mean, every team has had changes, right? I mean, I think, you know, when Saleh left San Francisco, that's the biggest one to me. And now the Rams losing Brandon Staley to the Chargers for their head coaching job, that's another big one. So then, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, because now these teams have to hire new coordinators, and it, you know, could be an issue. I don't know for sure if it will or not, but the 49ers lost their defensive coordinator. Seattle lost their offensive coordinator. The Rams lost their defensive coordinator. And it's very likely that the play caller for the Cardinals is going to continue to be Cliff Kingsbury, and that Vance Joseph is going to continue to be the defensive coordinator. So does that give him any advantage? Maybe a little bit, because these other teams are going to be bringing in new guys.
Especially if they hire the wrong guys. Staley was doing a heck of a job. That was, by most metrics, the best defense in the NFL in the Rams. The 49ers, they went from the 32nd ranked defense before Saleh got there to top five in back-to-back years. Look, it's usually more about the players than it is the coaching, but coaching matters. Just ask the Cardinals when Steve Wilkes was the head coach, right? Or when Mike McCoy was the coordinator. Or even in year one of Vance Joseph, if you've got the wrong guy in there, mistakes are going to be made. And now the Rams and the 49ers each have a chance to hire the wrong guy to be their coordinator, which might hurt them in 2021. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't know if it's official, right? But San Francisco's talked about promoting the linebacker coach, DeMeco Ryans.
I have not seen – I don't know if they've made that official. I had not seen that. Is that what they're talking about doing?
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's been the discussion since Saleh left. I mean, he played 12 years in the NFL, but he's a young guy. He's only 36 years old. But that keeps it in-house, so you feel like you don't have to play catch-up. But that has been the talk, in San Francisco, that DeMeco will just he'll just get the job. But again, I mean, Saleh was so good and such a leader. And when he got that job with the Jets, man – I have so many players spoke out about how great it is, and they loved playing for that guy. I don't care how good DeMeco Ryans is. It's going to be hard to duplicate what Robert Saleh brought to that team.
When we come back, was Sunday the last time we're ever going to see Drew Brees in an NFL uniform? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.